I'm going to read a few verses from Mark here. In case you're interested, Mark is said to be the first gospel written before the other three. And so we're dealing with an account that is fresh in the mind of Mark. So just keep that in mind, that we're dealing with the closest account probably to what Jesus did here. Isn't that cool? All right, you probably forgot it already. All right, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20. And this says, "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him." All right, are you ready for the word? All right, let's give it up for Pastor Alex.
Thank you, Jesse. How's everybody doing? You know that in the Bible it talks about yelling for the Lord. There's something about it when you just... Yesterday I was watching Extreme Fighting. Anybody on CBS, on 11? Man, I hate watching that show, but I love it, you know? You know how it is? When you're like... Your adrenaline is running and you're just punching. You know, my wife leaves because I bruise her, you know, because I'm like, come on. And so, and as they're fighting, you can hear them go, you know, because they need to make a noise. They need to exhale. They need to, you know, to make it more powerful. And Bible says, shout to the Lord, all you people. Clap and shout with the voice of triumph. So God created us to shout. Do you believe that? Hey, he didn't create us to shout at our wives or our kids, although we do that sometimes, or your husbands. Hey, some of you yell at your husbands. Come on. Not my wife, but yeah. But anyway, so God created us to shout. And listen, if you've been holding it in, you know, some of us, you know, we've learned to do self-control. And some of you have learned holding it in. This is the place to do it. So if I don't shout here, I'm going to shout during the week. It's going to be bad for my marriage. It's going to be bad for the church eventually if I keep doing it. So if you need to shout, please come here and shout loud, okay? That's why the music is so loud, so we can drown your shout. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Hallelujah. Well, today we're continuing on our message called Go Fish Part 2, okay? And if you were here last week, we talked about Jesus' agenda for his disciples. And if you are a follower of Jesus, he said, if you want to follow me, I will make you fisher of men. Now, Jesus did this. He didn't just randomly came to four business people who were doing, you know, their business work. He didn't just come randomly to them and said, listen, guys, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they said, hallelujah. We'll do it, Rabbi. You know, it's like I was laughing with Phil today, this week. And I said, imagine, Phil, if a homeless guy came here to you and said, hey, Phil, just leave your business here, making trailers and fixing stuff, and come follow me. And I could just imagine Phil saying, yeah, good luck, Paul. And after the guy would leave, offended, Phil would say, man, that guy's a clown. I could just imagine Phil doing it. I mean, if any just homeless person would come to you and say, hey, follow me, girl, you'd be like, what? I'm not going to do that, right? But Jesus did something before he asked them to follow him, okay? What did fishermen want? They wanted fish. Now, I've been in Jerusalem and Egypt, and I actually fished on Red Sea. I didn't fish on the Sea of Galilee, but I fished in the Red Sea, which is kind of in Egypt. And I've seen these men on their little boats, and they have this net that stays in the water up there. And as fish try to flow through it, they get stuck. And it's not something like you see on Discovery Channel, where they pull like tons and tons of salmon or whatever fish, tuna, you know, they get caught and it's like thousands of pounds. That's not like that. That's sophisticated fishing now. They didn't have that. They just had a net, and they would drag it. It wasn't a big net, but it was a net, and they would drag it, and whatever fish would try to go through and get stuck in a net, that's what they would get. That's it. So they would catch, and I've seen this, the guys would catch like a bucket full. So they would go and drag the net, and they would catch a bucket full. There were some fish they would throw out because, you know, that blow fish, puffer fish, you know, you know, some fish that has a kind of a triangle on it, that kind of has like a turtle, except it's a triangle type. I don't know if you've seen that kind. This Egyptian man gave me that fish, and I was holding it. I didn't know what to do with it, so I know you're going to laugh at me. I know I did something so stupid. I came to my swimming pool at my, and this is at our, it wasn't a hotel. It was like a little huts you slept in. They were nice. You know, like little huts on the like the sea, and your backyard is the ocean, you know, and you sleep one or two people in one thing. It was beautiful. And he gave me that turtle looking fish, and I was like, what am I going to do with it? So I ran to my, I know my mind wasn't there. I wasn't married. There's a lot of single people out there. I was out of it, okay? Yeah, roll your eyes. Thank you. And so I was out of it. And so I took the fish and I put it in a swimming pool and it died. And I'm like, what the heck is happening here? And then I was like, oh, this is not a salty water. And the Red Sea was salty, you know. And I was like, oh, man. So I took the fish. I tried to revive it and I put it in the... you know, the Red Sea, no, not mouth to mouth, but that's okay too. You know, it's a fish, come on. And so, yeah, you didn't catch a lot of fish. And so Jesus comes to them, they've been working all night, and this night they caught nothing. And fishermen do have these nights. The fish is just gone. You know, they have a party and they don't tell you where it is. And Jesus says, throw your nets the other way. And they do that. And they catch so much that it fills two boats. That's a big catch. So what Jesus does, he gives these guys what they want. And if we were reading this without reading the Bible, we would probably think, okay, if you follow me, I will make you rich. Right? That would be kind of cool. If you follow me, I will make you more disciplined. I will make you more anointed, more blessed. Right? That's what we would think Jesus would say. But he says something different. He says, if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. And my thing is, regardless if they understood the message or if they didn't understand the message, they did follow him because he gave them what they wanted. Now, a lot of us, as I said last week, we start our life with Jesus by hoping that he can do something for us. And the coolest thing is, and why I love being a Christian, because God can do things for you. I remember where I started, and I remember, and I know where I am now, and there's no way I wouldn't want to be a Christian. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. And many of you today will say the same thing. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I mean, God and his laws and his rules have protected me from so many things. I experience the blessing of God every day of my life. And sometimes I drive in my car and I yell. And I just like, thank you, Lord. Because it's amazing what he can do for you. And I look back and make sure no kids are, you know, in the back seat, you know. I've done that before. My kid was like, whoa, Dad, what happened? Thank you, Lord! I do that because I love being a Christian. The coolest thing is, you don't have to be perfect. You try to be, but you don't have to be perfect. Hallelujah. So I love being a Christian. And today, I want to answer two questions. Because Christianity is a religion that's intentional about making converts. That's what Jesus said. If you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. So Christianity is a religion that's intentional about saving people. bringing people closer to Jesus. Would you agree? Now, some of us were Christians who were like, there's no way I'm going to do that. I'm not going to go fish for anybody. And that's okay. But, and maybe some of you are still kind of in the middle. You don't know if you really believe in God or you don't. You want to follow this stuff about Jesus or you don't. I just want you to know that why we fish. So today's message is why fish. So either you're a Christian or you're not Christian. Today you will know why we go and fish. Because some people are like, listen, just leave people alone. Let them discover their own way. Let them find out their own path. Many religions lead to God. Why are you trying to convert people? Just let people do it their own way. And at the end, God will sort it out. He's big enough. Just leave it alone. Well, I want to tell you, there is a major difference between Christianity and all other religions. And today you will find out why. So if you're a Christian, you need to hear this. Why go fish? Because Christianity is not about coming to church. It's not about praying. It's not about singing a song Eli Road or Andre or Audrey Road. It's not about that. Christianity is about fishing. See, church is a school time. That's where we learn about God. That's where we get excited about God. And that's when we go and tell people about Him. Because He can and will change your life. Just like He changed the disciples' lives and gave them fish what they wanted, but then He made them greater. He will change your life and make it greater. Make it more focused on eternity. Amen? So, but if you're not Christian and you think all religions lead the same way, it's not true. They don't lead the same way. Christianity leads to salvation. All right? Now, I want to start with a story, because that was kind of a review from last week. I want to start with a story, and many of you maybe heard this story. It's written in the book of Acts. Book of Acts was written after Jesus lived, died, resurrected, and went to heaven. Okay? So this is what happens. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, it says this. Now, Peter and John, remember, these are the people who first were fishermen for real. And now, after Jesus died and resurrected, went to heaven, now they're practicing fishing of man. And this is the story about it. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when I guess people go to pray in Jerusalem. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so he could ask alms from those who entered the temple. So this is the story. Peter and John, they go, usual, to pray. Jesus is gone. That's it. His 3.5 years of ministry is over. And now these guys are still going to temple, Jewish temple. Now at the gate of a temple, there was a crippled man. He was born like that. And he was always asking, a cup or something, please give me something. And the Bible says that Peter and John looked at him and saw that he has faith. And they said to him, look at us. And the guy was like, why should I look at you? Just throw something in. And they say this, silver and gold we do not have. And he's like, oh, great. But what we have, we give. Oh, another guy with advice. In the name of Jesus, they said, get up and walk. And the guy got up. Thank you. Give her a hand. And the guy got up and started walking. First, he started slowly walking, the Bible says. Then he started running. Then he started leaping. Then he started jumping and dancing. Then he ran into the temple. And all these people who usually go to the temple, they've seen him around. They've seen him being crippled and asking for money. They felt sorry for him. They gave him, a denarii or whatever they would give him. And suddenly they see this guy jumping, praising God. And they're like, who did this to you? And he said, well, he looked around and he said, this guy and this guy. Peter and John. So a whole big crowd gets together. And they start, you know, Peter didn't have to prepare a message. He said, okay, there's a crowd. I'm a preacher. What else do you need? Here he goes. So, and if you can, if you don't need an outline if you can heal a man, right? People don't care if you even know what you're talking about. They just want to hear you because how did you do this? How did you make this man walk? And so Peter gets this opportunity, and to make a long story short, he starts preaching and says, this Jesus who you guys crucified, in his name we raise this man up. So this is Jesus is gone, and they're still practicing the power of Jesus. Okay, so there's something about why fish, remember that. And so the crowd, it's got rowdy. Some people were saying, oh no, this is not true. Some people were believing. And the Pharisees, the priests, instead of giving a medal to Peter and John, they throw them in jail. Imagine what you get for healing a guy, right? See, people are okay for you healing the guy and doing good for others. The world is okay with that. But as soon as you start talking about this Jesus, ooh, you disturb. Keep your religion at home. Teach your kids. Send your kids to private school, whatever. Homeschool them, whatever. We don't care. As long as you just keep that religion thing to yourself. Most world hates it when we talk about Jesus. And today you'll know why we do that. And hopefully you will do that yourself. And so they throw him in jail. Then they go and in the next day, which is Monday, they go and get their Monday. Our Sunday, their Monday, because it was Saturday, okay? So they go and throw him in jail, and on Monday, which is Jewish working day, which is our Sunday, anyway. And so, and they go and get him, and they said, what power did you do this with? And they said, now let me read this to you. Can I do this? Can I? And it came to pass the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas and Ananias, high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander. Now, I don't know who these people are, but they must have been big. And Ananias was there? Whoa. Alexander was there? All these guys were there? Whoa. Yeah. I know it doesn't mean nothing to us, but it did to them. And as many were of the family of high priests. So the whole family of high priests were there. PK kids were there. Everybody. Okay? They're all sitting and watching. We're gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, John and Peter, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and listen to this, watch this, whom you crucified. Whoa, that's bold, right? They're like, who'd you do it? You crucified this dude. And we healed in his name. Because you can't deny the miracle. The Pharisees, the teachers, didn't deny the miracle. And Peter didn't deny whose name. He could have been nice, you know, and say, well, you know, there was this preacher and you guys didn't know. You crucified him. You know, could have been gentle. He said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who you crucified. So now the history here tells us that there was crucifixion. Now the Pharisees didn't deny the crucifixion. They just didn't like this Jesus. Whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. And so priests get angry and say, you need to stop talking in the name of this Jesus. And they start threatening them and their families. And if you don't do this, you'll go to prison. If you don't do this, we'll put you into the Romans and they'll crucify you. And you need to stop this now. See, Satan has always been afraid of the name of Jesus. He has always tried to stop people from preaching that name. Because that name has power. And just be careful, because when you start speaking about Jesus, two things will happen. People will get converted, or two, people will start hating you. And listen to what they said. But Peter and James and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. So pretty much they're saying, who should we listen to better, you or God? So who are we going to listen to? Yeah, you threatening us, but we're going to listen to God. For we cannot speak, listen to this, for we cannot speak the things which we have, what does your Bible says? Believe? For we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard. Notice they didn't say we believe it. Notice they didn't say, well, your religion says this, my religion says that. No, no, no. These guys weren't preaching something they hallucinated. These guys seen the resurrection of Jesus. And they've heard him speak. See, Christianity is different than many religions, because Christianity is not an intuitive religion. What does it mean, intuitive? How many of you know you have intuition, especially women, right? Christianity is not a religion that you can go and sit under the tree, or go sit on a rock, or go sit in a sweat lodge and discover. Because Christianity is based in history. Hold on, I'm going somewhere. Now, all other religions, you can go sit on a tree and you can probably discover that there is God and there are spirits. Native American religion says there are spirits, tonkas, and all kinds of, you know, and there's, and they go into sweat lodge and they experience God, what they say. And I don't doubt their experience, because you can. See, Bible says the law of God has been written in the heart of a human being. And then the Bible says also, if you look at the stars, you cannot deny that there's God. There's something inside of you says there is God. Okay? But Christianity is different. Christianity is not based upon experience only. See, you can experience something. Oh, I felt so good. Must have been God. What God? See, I went to Sweat Lodge and I experienced, oh, you know, it was really good. But you can also recreate an experience. Remember, sorcery is mixing a whole bunch of drugs together and drinking it, and you can experience God too. You know there is a spiritual world by the Bible calls it sorcery. Drug addiction is a sorcery. If you drink a lot of alcohol, you start seeing little gnomes running around looking at you. One guy told me he got so drunk that something started throwing shoes at him. And that's how he was laying in his bed, and he's like, someone just throwing things at me, you know? No, true story. I know the guy. Okay? It wasn't his wife. She left him. And so you can somehow discover that there is God, people. Wouldn't you agree? Most religions are the same basically, because they believe there is God. But see, Christianity is different, because it's not an intuitive religion. You cannot discover Jesus Christ and good news just by sitting in a sweat lodge. And then you're like, oh, Jesus Christ was crucified, huh? Right? Can't do that. How is Christianity? What's so different about Christianity is it's based in history. Now, let me tell you something about Christianity. Christianity is not a higher moral code than other religion. It's not. It's not a, we have more greater rules that we follow. That's what, see, principles of the universe are the same for everybody. Christians believe as far as Buddhists, as Muslims, as New Age, as everybody else, that if you commit adultery, that's bad. You don't have to be a Christian to know that. It's going to destroy your life eventually. Right? So Christianity is not, the good news is not about stop committing adultery. Good news is not, Christianity is not, and we mix that. See, that's how we become religious. That's not Christianity. When you have people start telling you, this is what you need to stop doing, that's not Christianity. And besides, it's not a good news to you. Every religion can tell you what you need to stop doing. Would you agree? Every religion could stop, you know, tell you the truth, because you don't have to be a Christian to discover principles of the universe. You know what's good for you. You know what's bad for you. You didn't have to be a Christian to discover the law of gravity, right? It's not just given to the Christians. It's given to everybody. So we're not talking about the higher moral code as a Christianity. That's not what good news is. Some of you are going to learn something big. Why we fish. Christianity is the good news that in history, don't forget the history. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this world, was born of a virgin, was crucified, and then rose again. Why was he crucified? For our sins, meaning he took my sin, so he died on my behalf, your behalf. He was punished for our sins. What is sins? It's breaking God's laws. Doesn't matter if you're Christian or not. It's still God's laws. It's those principles. You break a principle, you start borrowing too much money, what happens? Get in debt and you're in trouble. You get punished by the law if you break the law. Right? Thank you for that. And so that's what I want to tell you today, that Christianity is not that we have higher moral code. It's not that. That's not what Christianity. It's the good news that Christ took away on our behalf what was our sins. Okay? But it's based in history. Three things that are true about Christianity that's not true about others. Christianity has historical backing of it. Now, Muslim faith is something like this. Muhammad goes, sits on a rock in a cave, and something came to him, obviously. You can't just grow a religion out of nothing. Okay, something really did came to him. Who was it? You know, he said it was an angel, whatever. We're not going to, you know, debate it. We're not going to debate it. But has anybody else heard it? Has anybody else heard this writing? Probably not. Bible says this, on account of two witnesses, every matter should be done. There's no two witnesses. There's one who started claiming, and then he started taking a sword and going into all the world and converting with a sword. He said, if you believe, convert to, you know, Islam, then you can live. If you don't, you'll die. And guess what all people, everybody believed. That's why he was able to take over. And then they were able to teach their kids, and it just progressed. But it was one witness only. Not credible. Not credible. Not enough. Not enough. Okay? But when Jesus died and resurrected, how many witnesses we have? Bible says up to 500. Now, for sure we have 12 disciples. One died. Right? Suicide. Judah. Judas. We have at least 11. We have all the women. We have at least 120 that we know of that were waiting in a room together. So see, Christianity is based in history. Now, you can have ecstasy experience in the middle of the night and be like, oh, I feel peace, inner peace, I feel God. That's not based in history though. That's just a feeling. You can recreate it. You can recreate it with drugs, alcohol, maybe some other things. You know? You can recreate it. But it doesn't have a base in history. Okay? So that's why, listen to me, that's why we fish. Because Christianity is not discovered, but it's preached. Christianity cannot be discovered, it can only be preached. See, all other religions you can probably discover. You can discover there is God. But Christianity, you can't discover there is God. It must be preached. Apostle Paul says this, how can they believe unless there is a preacher? And Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And how you do that is by speaking. Jesus said, and you will be my witnesses from Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Christianity is spread by preaching. Now, how does it work? Then Christianity worked by storytelling. You tell a story of history, of what God did. Are you hearing this? Now, Holy Spirit adds power to that story. Right? And what happens is some people will get converted, will be caught, and some people will reject. And Bible says that God chooses who are caught and who are not. Now, so nobody can say here today that it was because I was good that I became a Christian. Because you didn't discover God, you were caught. You were hooked, yeah. You didn't discover God on your own. He found you. Remember, the Bible says, you did not choose me, I chose you. You didn't find me, I found you. See, that's the difference about Christianity. You cannot become a part till you are caught. That way you can't boast and say, I was so good and that's why God chose me. No. He caught you. And you didn't want to be a Christian. I didn't want to be a Christian. To the unbelieving person, the world is so much fun. Come on. Why would you want to be a Christian? You look at the Christian and be like, whoa, I don't want that. Here we can have rock and roll, sex and drugs, you know. Party rock, like a rock star and, you know. And over there, it's like, what's in there? But see, when you're caught, you understand, wow, I've experienced something. So number two about Christianity, first is what? Historical fact. It's based in history. Something did happen in history. Okay? Two, it's the personal experience. How do I know Christianity is real? One, history. Two, I've experienced it. Now, if you just have experience without history, what is that? That's all it is. You can recreate it. A lot of people have experiences. Right? But it was based in history. Bible says, how do I know Christianity is real? Because the love of God has been poured into my heart by the Holy Spirit. I've experienced His love. You've experienced His love. But that love is based on history also. Right? You connect that love with history. So in the middle of the night, if you wake up and you feel this just peace, and or you drive in a car and suddenly you just feel so blessed. You don't just say, oh, thank you, higher spirit, and for being here, great spirit, whatever. No, you say, thank you, Jesus. It's you who is doing it in me. Because I know whose spirit it is. Okay? And third, Christianity is so different from any other because of changed life. Now, hold on. Could you have a changed life and not have one and two? See, all three makes it real. Christianity is real because it will change your life. It will change your marriage. If you follow what the Bible says to you, and if you allow God to do this work inside of you, just like He caught you, you didn't want it to be done. And then He changed your life. Same way He's going to do it. He's going to change your life. Christianity is real because he changed my life. Now, I'm not perfect. You didn't need me to tell you that. You already knew that. When people say that, I sometimes wonder. But and if I say, we will never be. But I know there's changed life. And you can testify, there's changed life. I start living differently. And when God begins to tell me things inside of me, I start doing it. Amen? So three things that make it real. So this is what happens. How Christianity, how we fish. We tell the story. Either the story of Jesus or our personal story. Second, when Holy Spirit hears you talk about Jesus, listen to me. He's there. Remember, he's everywhere. So he starts adding his power. And that's why you see some people cry and you're like, ooh, that's uncomfortable. You know, as soon as you start telling people about Jesus, either the eyes become teary. I was debating this guy in a restaurant, in a pizza place, remember? His eyes just got teary. And I'm like, ooh, too much maybe. And it wasn't the pizza, guys. No, and so what will happen is some people will receive and some people will deny. The Bible says the interesting thing. If you don't know much about Christianity, you can still tell the story. Because it's not you who converts. It's not your intellect. It's not your intelligence. It's not because you're rich or famous or good looking. It's because Holy Spirit, Paul says, I preach the gospel not with fancy words, but I preach it with simplicity. Because it's not my fancy words that catch people. It's the Holy Spirit empowers those words and people receive Jesus. Now, there's an interesting quote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. It says that some people preach because selfish ambitions. When Paul became famous for preaching all over the world, what happened was other people started preaching. They didn't believe in Jesus, but they just want to make a career of speaking. You know, some people like to do that. Oh, you know, you're doing so good speaking, so I'm just going to do what you do. That doesn't work like that. But Paul says, even if they preach falsely, I rejoice in that because Holy Spirit takes their false words, because they don't even believe it. He takes their words, empowers them, and other people believe. So listen, you don't have to know much about Christianity. And you shouldn't go into debating about things. You know, you don't have to know everything, because some of you are afraid like this. You're thinking, well, if I start talking to people about Jesus, guess what? They'll start asking me all these hard questions and I won't know how to answer it. That's not what you need to worry about. Just tell them the story, history, what Jesus did and the great exchange. Then tell them about your story, about your life changed. And that's it. And let God do the rest. And eventually they'll be like, yeah, I want to go to church with you. Or they'll call you up and say, yeah, pick me up, I'm coming. Christianity is different because it's not intuitive. It's based on history. It's based on a story that Holy Spirit empowers. And Paul says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it has the power of God unto salvation. See, if you're ashamed, you'll be quiet. If you're ashamed, you'll be quiet. But eventually, if you're a Christian long enough, God will produce boldness. Because in this story, they were astonished in Peter's and John's boldness, Bible says. And they knew that they were simple fishermen, but how are they so bold? See, it's the words that are empowered by the Holy Spirit that makes all the difference. So you don't need to know everything. You don't need to have great power or magic to convert people. You just need to tell the story. And it's easy. Christianity is easy. Going fishing is easy. Just tell the story. Holy Spirit will empower that story. And people's lives will change. Next week, you don't want to miss this because we're going, it's going to be the best message ever, I think. I can't oversell it. But we're going to... Oh, I mean, we're going to read a story that you don't want to miss. Anyway, people's lives will change. And if you feel glad that God did things for you, if you feel glad that you found Jesus or He found you, you don't want to keep it to yourself. You want to tell it to others. Now, how many of you did that that homework assignment that I gave you last week? I know a few of you sent me your emails, and last week I asked you to write a letter to a person who had an influence in bringing you to God. Now, God was the one who saved you, right? But there was a person who told you about it. Because God is not going to speak to you by yourself. He's going to speak to you through another person till you are converted, and then He'll speak to you directly. Amen? Now, how do I know Christianity is real? Because the story that we just read, Peter, James, Andrew, John, they were fishing, they followed Jesus. And after 3.5 years, and for some of you it won't take that long, for some of you it's a week later, but 3.5 years later, they're standing in front of the high priest of their nation. They were equivalent to the king. King and priest were about the same power. They're standing in front of the president and declaring to them boldly, these fishermen, poor fishermen, declaring boldly, and these guys are astonished. They can't do anything. They yell at them and release them and say, don't do it again. Can't do anything. And then later on, the reason Christianity is real, because Peter was an old man already preaching in Rome, and Nero rose up a great persecution against the church, and Peter had an opportunity to escape. And history tells us this, that as Peter was walking out of town already of Rome, he did escape, because they were killing, slaughtering all the Christians. And as Peter was leaving, he said he saw a vision of Jesus coming from the hill down to Rome. And Peter said, Jesus, where are you going? He saw a vision of this. And Jesus said, I'm going to Rome to be crucified again. And Peter snapped out of it because he saw a vision. And instead of leaving Rome, Peter goes back in and gets crucified. Except this time, Peter was so bold. Remember, Peter was always the quick to deny him in the beginning. Well, right now he's like, you can't crucify me just regular way. He said, why don't you do it upside down? I'm not worthy to be crucified. Now, you can't be crucified for a lie. These men did see it. They did hear it. Andrew, Peter's brother, was severely scourged, tied by ropes on an X-shaped cross where he hung for 2 days and then died. You can't do that for something that's a lie. How can these people do that? It's the power. It's real. See, it's not a hoax. We're not just here for great music, because we're not there yet. In my opinion, it's not. There's a power that's bigger than ourselves. It's not about building even. It's not about bathrooms, although we do want it. Please, Lord, we need it in order to grow, because some people do come for, you know, a great place to belong to. In the beginning, help me out. James, older brother of John, who wrote Revelations, was beheaded with a sword. You all know what happened to Judas. Not going there. Listen to this. John, who wrote the Revelation, he was the youngest of the disciples, around 17 when Jesus called him. He was boiled in oil and didn't die. He was sent to the Isle of Patmos where he got the revelation. And then he wrote the book of Revelation. He was boiled. Didn't die. So I don't know if it was a miracle that he didn't die, or was he scored? I mean, was he just messed up? Philip, crucified. Bartholomew, beaten, flayed, crucified, head down. You got to listen to this. Thomas, the doubting Thomas, lanced by priests and burned in an oven. Matthew, who wrote the book of Matthew, axed to death with a halberd. Axed to death. Now, every one of these guys had a chance to deny Jesus and live. Just don't die for a lie. James, half-brother of Jesus, thrown from the temple tower and didn't die, was clubbed to death at the age of 94. Jude, crucified. Simon the Zealot, crucified. Matthias, stoned and beheaded. And Paul, greatest apostle, beheaded. Why goldfish? You don't do it on your own. You don't go try to die on your own. Jesus said, I will make you fisher of men. And then he said, I will also make you, I'll give you power if you have to. The only one who didn't die his own by murder was John. They tried to boil him, but he just wouldn't die. So they threw him on the island and just say, hope you died there. And he didn't die there either. Wrote a big book and somehow escaped and died in Ephesus with his own death. These guys didn't just die for nothing. They really believed, they really saw. And all of them, except Judas, all of them. I mean, if half of them denied, half of them, then you could have doubted. But all of them